Okay, so Bez Hashem, let's make some achanas for Lag Baomer, yeah? All right, so when it comes to Lag Baomer, again, it's well known that there are two sides to Lag Baomer. There's two different maisim that two different events that we're commemorating, celebrating. All right, so one we know is the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, spanning the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, and they all kula mesu b'perek echa. The Gemara says in Yavamis they all died in one tekufa, the tekufa of Sfiras Omer, which according to many Rishonim that was from the beginning of Sfiras Omer until Lag Baomer. Lag Baomer is when they stopped dying, and so because of that there's a celebration because of the ending of the death of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva that we know. And why did they die? They died because the Gemara says, "Shalai noga kavod zelazeh zevazeh." They were not noga kavod to each other. That's what the Gemara says. That's one side of Lag Baomer. The other side of Lag Baomer, as we know, is a celebration of Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu, right? It's the Hilula, the Yahrzeit of Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu. It's the day that we celebrate the Torah of Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu, Pnimis HaTorah, Sizer HaTorah, Zohar HaKadosh. That's the other side of Lag Baomer. So, obviously, you need to somehow put those two things together. You need to somehow put those two things together. They must be related to each other. So that's what we're going to try to investigate a little bit. What's the relationship between those two sides of Lag Baomer? Again, the ending of the death of Talmid Rabbi Akiva, which means repairing that issue of Shalai Noga Kavod Zelazeh. That's one side of Lag Baomer, and somehow that's connected to the Inyan of Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu in particular. Okay, so you have to figure that out. Happens to be if we think about the Inyan of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva dying, so it's a well known question that whatever it means Shleinogu Kavod Zevazeh, that they didn't treat each other with the proper kavod that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva deserved. Lamaisa, first of all, it can mean that they were mamish disrespectful to each other. We're talking about Talmid Rabbi Akiva. So LMI, so what does it mean? It means that to whatever degree the Talmid Rabbi Akiva deserved kavod, to that degree they weren't given kavod. Okay, but the question is, Chayiv Misa? You Chayiv Misa for that? So it's a famous question. So a number of Mefarshim say that it's not so much that they were Chayiv Misa, but the point is that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were what they were supposed to do if they remained alive. What would have happened is that they would go down in history as part of the Messiah. Now, as the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, nowadays, Kul Aliv Rabbi Akiva, all of our Torah Shebaal Peh is rooted on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's a major link in the Messiah, one of the Ma'atike Shmuel, one of the ones that give over the Messiah, is Rabbi Akiva. If the Talmid Rabbi Akiva would have remained alive, then certainly the Messiah would have traveled through them. Since this Inyan of Shleinogu Kavod Zevazeh is a Pagam, it's a Pagam in particular to the Ma'atike Shmuel, to be those that are the Baali HaMessiah, it's specifically a Pagam in that, and because of that, they passed away, not so much because they're Chayiv Misa, but because the Mesorah was not able to be transmitted through them. Now, that's what a lot of Mefarshim say. Now, what's interesting is that that would indicate, that would sound, that there's two sides to Shalei Nogu Kavod Zevazeh, right? There's the Chasaran and the one that should have been given the respect, and therefore there's a certain, and there's also Chasaran and the one that deserved the respect. It comes out, if the Rabbanu Shel Olam got rid of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva because those that are the Ma'atike Shmua, those that are the Baali HaMessiah, they should be specifically careful and sensitive to Kavod HaTorah, to the Kavod of the Messiah, as they represent. And the Mela, Shalei Noga Kavod Zevazeh, therefore they're not worthy of being the Ma'atike Shmua, the Baali HaMessiah. What's interesting is that of all the positions of authority, when it comes to a position, however you want to define this, the position of being one of the Baali HaMessiah, we see, if anything, that kavod to those that are a part of that chain is not such a big deal. What do I mean? The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Malachim, says the following halacha. It's a Perek Aleph in Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam says that, certainly a melech, but any person in a position of sarara, of halachic authority, that therefore deserves some level of respect from the Amoinam that he's leading. So the Rambam paskins that such a person is not allowed to have a profession that's a little bit undignified. Everyone says examples. He can't be a tanner. There's other malachas like that. Someone who's in a position of sarara, a position of authority, has a responsibility to make sure that their malacha that they do for a profession is considered respectable and considered to be up there in order to make sure that people look up to them. That's the halacha of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Malacha. What's interesting is, again, the Rambam over there is talking about people of Sarara, people that have authority. So you would think that the Baalei HaMesora, those that are part of that chain of the Mesora, should also be careful about this too. But the truth is, Rambam specifically, or at least, not specifically, but it's clearly Rambam not like this. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam is talking about the obligation to learn Torah, Kviyas Ethan. So the Rambam says that every single Jew, no matter what the situation is obligated to learn a little bit of Torah in the morning and at night to be kaveh itim l'Torah. And the Rambam says, he gives, like there's a halacha, we mentioned this halacha before, the Rambam gives a little chizik. The Rambam says, and you should know, that even though a person has to work and a person has, you know, all sorts of tirdas and tirchas in life, if you put your mind to it and you're kaveh itim, you could become very successful. Says the Rambam, I'll give you an example. Because even there were tzaddikim and chachamim of the Jewish people, mehem hayu shayve mayim v'chayt ve'etzim. Some of them were lumberjacks and water carriers. Notice Rambam is saying like shvach malachas, difficult malachas, low status, and hey matike shmua, and they were so successful in their learning that they became the Baalei HaMesora. The Rambam doesn't sound like once they became that matike shmua, then they quit their job. Sounds like for the Rambam that even though someone is of the category of the Baalei HaMesora Tikei Shmua, they're allowed to still be lumberjacks and water carriers. Now, I understand the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he's not highlighting the fact that these are low positions. He's highlighting the fact that these are difficult jobs, you know, backbreaking labor, underpaid, you know, and so on. But Lamaisa, I think everyone would agree that in the, you know, even nowadays we have lumberjacks. We don't have water carriers, but every Chassidus Shemais is always like, you know, the poorest person in the town was the water carrier, you know? So, Mestama, even if you don't believe all the Chassidus Shemais is, but probably that Nakuda is probably somewhat true. So if the Rambam says that the Matike Shmuel, people of Baalei HaMesora were Chayt Ve'etzim, some of them, not all of them obviously, but some of them were Chayt Ve'etzim, Meshay Ve'mayim, lumberjacks and water carriers, which are jobs that, again, are not the highest positions. So, again, when it comes to other positions of authority, the Rambam says, we're so makbid on kavod, on their kavod, that they're not even allowed to take a job that maybe some people would look down at them because of that. And the matike shmua, says the Rambam, but it's not a problem. They could be lumberjacks, water carriers, nishkefelach. So it's very, very difficult. It's very strange. Of all the people that it seems that we have to be more makbid on their kavod, is the Matike Shmu, the Baalei HaMesora, Vaharaya. Ultimately, Rabbi Akiva died because of this small issue that they had of not treating each other with a proper covet, and because of that, they couldn't be the Baalei HaMesora. So it's a little bit ironic. I'm not saying it's, you know, if the Baalei HaMesora are themselves, you know, the halacha does not require them to be so mechubad and so honored. So then why would the Talmid Rabbi Akiva be punished in such a great deal? Because they didn't honor the Baalei HaMesora. And because of that, they couldn't be the Baalei HaMesora themselves. You see that COVID, and we have to explain this, why? But evidently, by COVID is something that is more sensitive to the other positions of authority, but the Baalei HaMesora not as much. So it's a little bit strange. It also needs explanation. Why would you not have to respect the Baalei HaMesora as much as you would anyone else? L'char, that would be probably the first position of authority to respect as Yidden, people that transmit the Mesora from generation to generation. If you have to be, if a person of some other, you know, more governmental position, there's halacha built in to Hilchos Malachim that he's not allowed to have a position that is a little bit undignified. So Baalei Mesora halachas kam v'kam, and yet the halacha is the Rambam is clear that they could be chayt ve'etzim shavimayim. So are we makbid in their covet? Are we highly sensitive to the covet of the Baalei HaMesora, as you see from the death of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva? Or are we not makbid on their covet, as you see from the halacha, that they can be water carriers and lumberjacks? It's a little bit strange. Okay. Let's put that to the side, Bez Hashem. All right, regarding the other side of Lag BaOmer, which is the Inyan of Rav Shimon, we find a lot of, it's not so obvious, but once you start thinking about it, it pops up a lot. There's an Indian of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in regards to Lag BaOmer, and feet, raglayim. Raglayim, the inyan of feet, the inyan of having healthy, good feet. What do I mean? First of all, the name Shimon equals begematria regal times two. So that's two raglayim equals the name Shimon. If you take the name Shimon, I'm not good with gematria, this farm says. If you take the name Shimon, Shin Mem Ayin Vav Nun, right? And you spell each letter in full, so Shin is Shin Yud Nun, right? You do that to each one. If you take the Milui, the hidden letters of the name Shimon, notice that the obvious letters of the name Shimon equal regal twice. The hidden name of the name, hidden letters of the name Shimon also equal the word regal. So Shimon is Kule Raglayim. Kule Raglayim. In the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the story of Lag Baomer, so everyone knows it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Gemara says that it's a whole maysa. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had to run away in the cave and hide. Everyone knows the story. And then at some point he was able to leave because the Roman decree was gone, and then he started burning up the world, right? That's what the Gemara says. They came out and they saw people that were neglecting Chai Olam, neglecting eternal life of Torah, and Oiskim V'Chai Yishah, and every place that they looked was set on fire. And the Rabban Hashem said, I didn't take you out to destroy my world. Go back in the cave. Okay, so they go back in for another 12 months, and they come out, and so on. And the Gemara says that they were still a little bit unsettled. Rav Lazar was very unsettled. He was still burning things up. Rav Shimon was more settled than that, and he would heal that which Rav Lazar burnt. And then Rav Shimon said to his son, you know, what's the lashon of the Gemara? The Gemara's the lashon is that he said, he said to his son, my son, Dai loyel mani va'ata. Okay, me and you, we can hold up the world. It's enough. Me and you we can handle things. Says the Gemara, but what really solidified and what allowed Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to really embrace the world post cave, which is what we're celebrating. So the Gemara says the Maisa is that all this was happening. They left the cave Bahadi Pani Damali Shabbata. It was right before Friday night, late Friday afternoon. And the Gemara says Chazal Husaba. They saw an old man, Davinoki Trey Madani Asa, was holding two bunches of hadasim. The rohit bein hashmashes and was running bein hashmashes. Amrulay, and they said to him, "Hani lamalach, what do you need these hadasim for?" Amrulu lekavet Shabbos. He said, "Lekavet Shabbos." The tizkal abrichad, one is enough. So he said, "Chad keneged zacher, chad keneged shomer. One's for zacher, one's for shomer." Amrulu, the very sort of Shimon turns to his son. He says, "Chazi kama chaviv mitzvah. You saw, see how precious mitzvahs are to Yidden. Yosef datar. They felt better." The one, so what does the Gemara paint? What's the scene? The scene is an old man running, bein hashmashes. Now, for a young man to run, that doesn't tell you about the situation of his feet, because young men can run. An old man running, what does that tell you? Stark feet. So Shimon means two regals. The hidden letters of the name Shimon mean two regals. The scene that the Rabban Shalom puts in front of him to allow him to have Yeshiva Das, to come into the world and to bring his Torah into the world, is a scene of an old man running, which is an indication of unnaturally strong feet. The Gemara says that later on, that after that, Rishimon then turns to his son and he says, "Nu, kiven disrachash lanisa, since a miracle happened to us that we survived all these years in the cave, so we have to be misakin something. We should go bring a tikkun to the world. We should accomplish something, help the world out." So what happens? So the Gemara says in Maisa that he asked around, like, is there anything I can do to repair something? So they told him, yeah. The Gemara Yishalmi says this is in Tveria, that there was a certain shuk in Tveria, that there was an area that there was a suffix, there was some people buried there, but it's not sure where exactly. So the Kahanim had to go around. There was a tircha, and then they had to walk all the way around. So Rav Shimon, the Gemara says, a Maisa that he made a nace to clarify where the Kvarim are, to allow the Kahanim not to have to go all the way around. First of all, this is happening. It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say this was a shuk. Rashi, on his own, says this happened in a shuk. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was being matar, was clarifying, was purifying the shuk. What does the word shuk mean? Shuk means a marketplace. Also, shuk means the thigh. What was the problem? The problem was that Kahanim have to be matriach themselves and walk all the way around. To allow them not to have to walk, they should be able to have a smoother walk. They went straight. So it's all feet. Interestingly enough, when Rabbi Shimon said to his son, "No, since a miracle happened to us, so we have to be misakin something, we have to help something out," so the Gemara interrupts the story and the conversation with a little Gemara to show the source of that idea, that if a miracle happens to you, you should be misakin. You should fix the world. And the Gemara says like this, Dichsev, it says in Pasuk, Vayava Yaakov Sholem, that Yaakovinu, after the whole story with love and Esav, the whole his whole issues, eventually Yaakov comes peacefully to the city of Sholem, Ir Shechem. He comes to the city of Shechem in peace. Ve'omer Rav, and Rav said, what does it mean Yaakov came in peace? Sholem begufay, physically healthy. Sholem b'maynay, monetarily. Sholem b'terasi, his Torah is also well. You know what Rashi says about these things? First of all, Rashi says, Sholem begufay. What does it mean he's physically healthy? Says Rashi, on the Gemara, Rashi says, Shenesrab mitzolosai, his limp went away. So his feet were good. Sholem b'maynay, his mamon was good. Rav Nachman, there's a number of tires in Rav Nachman where he connects money to raglayim. It says in Pasuk, actually, regarding this parsha, when Yaakov eventually leaves Shechem, and he tells his sons and all the Shvatim to take all their wealth with them, so the Lashon that Yaakovina uses in this place of Shechem, the Lashon is, Aruchush asher tachas raglayim. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk. I might have butchered it, but something along those lines. Yeah, I think that's the Lashon of the Pasuk. But definitely the Lashon of the Pasuk is that the Rechush that was under their feet. So that means that Mammon is associated with feet. There's a number of times, I'm not going into this, but there's a number of times in Rav Nachman Kutim Ran where he makes that connection. So Shalom Begufay means his feet. Shalom B'mamayna is associated with the feet. Shalom B'tarasai. What does it mean, Shalom B'tarasai? Says Rashi, he's complete in his Torah. What does that mean? Shalei Shokach Talmudu Mipnei Torah HaDarach. That because of the tircha of traveling, then that usually should weaken the energy spent with the feet traveling should diminish one's taira, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. He didn't become weak. He didn't become tired in the traveling, and his taira therefore remained complete. He had strong feet. Shalom begufay, shalom b'maynay, shalom b'terasay, all three are related to feet. Says the Gemara, and because Yaakovinu had this miracle happen to him, that his feet were strong, v'yichan es p'nei ir, so he makes the takana, he's masakin something in the city. What's the tikkun? Says the Gemara, a few different options. Rav says, mapnei atikalem, he was masakin a coin, he created a currency. Again, mammon related to the feet. Shmuel Amr, Shmuel says, shvakim tikalem, he established marketplaces. Again, shvakim, it comes from the same lashon as shaik, which means a thigh, which means one's feet. Rabbi Yochanan says, marchatzois tikalem, he established bathhouses. What does that have to do with feet? So that's very simple. There's a big cloud by Rav Tzadik in the Svarim. If you want to know the root of something, look at the first place that's mentioned in Tanakh. Where's the first place the word rechitza is mentioned in Tanakh? So in Parshas Ve'era, when the Malachim come, Verachatzuos Ragleihem, it's Ragleichem. Avraham Avinu says to the angels, he doesn't know that at the time, but he says, wash your feet. In the Alpisoid, a person should take a shower as often as possible. But Alpisoid, the only time that you really have to take a shower is before Shabbos. I mean, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that you should do that too. And Alpisoid, maybe we'll get to this a little bit later, but in the Kisvi Ari, the Arizal in Shar Kavanis, it's clear that the real only body part that there's a special akbada to wash before Shabbos is the feet. Happens to be you should do your whole body because the whole world right now, as we get closer to Mashiach, it's called Ikvas of the Mashiach. The whole world is one big foot. So you have to wash everything. But the Ikrak pod is to wash one's feet. So Marachat Zayis is also feet. So again, this is what the Gemara is. Again, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, the Nes happened to me, and because of that, I have to I have to take care of the world. I have to be Masakin something. Referencing Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara goes this whole thing. The three, Yaakov Avinu is complete on all levels, all related to feet. The Tikkun that Yaakov Avinu brings is all related to feet. Agav, Rishon Bar Yochai, how does he survive in the cave? So the Gemara says, right, that water came, so he was able to drink. And what did he eat? So the Gemara says that a charev tree, a carob tree, right, a boxer, and he was able to eat that. So without going into exactly what this means, again, I'm just giving like Rashi Prakim or just ideas. But the Ramchal, in one of his Svarim, Adi Ramarim, so right in the beginning of Adi Ramarim, he talks about Roshima in the cave. It's Adar Marim is a pirush on a certain section of the Zohar Kodesh. So as an introduction, he talks about the Zohar B'chlal. So in Adar Marim, he explains that the inyan of of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai surviving on Buxer is related to what the Gemara says about Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. The Gemara says about Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, the whole world was sustained in the merit of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, and all Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa had was Kav Charuvin, was a measure of Buxer from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. So says Rav Chal, you see from there that the measurement that a person needs to survive on Buxer is a Kav. The word Kav in the Kisvei Ari, there's a section in Eitzes Chaim where the Arizal talks about this. The word Kav in Gemara is also crutches. It's also crutches. The Gemara says a person that needs it is Yotze B'Kav Sholoi on Shabbos. The Gemara says a discussion. Mishnayos talk about this, whether a person is allowed to go out on crutches on Shabbos. Do you really need it? Do you not really need it? Is that called carrying? Is it not called carrying? But the word for the crutches that Chazal used at that time was called a kav. So you see, Vayter, even Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai surviving in the cave, means that he's able to walk, he just needs crutches. Coming out of the cave, the raglaim are strong. So the whole inin over here is Saviv V'Hoylech is revolving around that. So what does that all mean? What is the significance of this? Evidently, it seems that the inyan of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the inyan, therefore, of Pnimus HaTorah, is to repair feet. Is to repair feet. What's that inyan? Okay, so it's like this. There's a concept in the, I wasn't sure if I'm going to like mention this nakuda, but you know, maybe I will. So I hope I won't lose you. This following point is not super necessary. It's just in parentheses, but it's kedai. The Arizal says that before Adam sinned, right? So there's a lot of differences between before the chait of Eitz Hadaas to after the chait. There's a lot of differences. One of the differences is, again, I'm just going to say this is how the Arizal describes it. Obviously, it's not physical. But the Arizal says as follows, that one of the major changes between pre-chait to post-chait is the positioning of all the worlds. And Pisoi, the Arizal talks about this, that the Rabbanu Shalom is kivyachol, so to speak, four worlds. Atzilus, which is the highest dimension, most spiritual, is Elikus, and then Bria, Yetzirah, Nasiya. Four worlds. If you imagine like a building with four layers, right? Like a four-story building. Imagine like that. Top story is Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Nasiya. Now each universe is subdivided into 10 spheres. Into 10 spheres. So it's like each floor is like 10 feet tall, right? Something like that. Use your imagination. So the Arizal said that the universes, before the chait to after the chait, not only among the many differences between pre-chait and post-chait is where this structure is. How high, how low. The Arizal says that the Rabbanu Shalom, the Chazal say that when the Rabbanu Shalom made the world kept on increasing, it kept on growing and growing. Sha'omer lo ilam may die. The Rabbanu Shalom said enough, die. He said enough. That's the name Shakai. Sha'omer lo ilam may die. He said enough. The Arizal said is that the way the Rabbanu Shalom made the world is that before the Chait, you had all these four universes, and each one made of 10 spheres. That's 40 slots altogether, right? Under the bottom slots, means under even the lowest world of Asiya, under that, there's 14 slots of the place of the Klippas, of the place of Klippa. That's where the Nachash lived. How the Nachash got to Gan Eden, that's not for now. But the Nachash's neighborhood was really underneath all the worlds. 14 slots. Sh'omer le'lamay dai. Dalad Yud is 14. As a result of the Chait, says Dari HaKadosh, as a result of the Chait, the universes of Kedusha descended, they were lowered in their status, in their Madrega, and because of that, the bottom 14 slots of the universes of Kedusha are now in the bad neighborhood of the Nachash. That's what the Arizal says. What happens, now the ultimate, when Mashiach comes, and beyond, so then this is going to be fixed, the universes is going to be, you know, the house is going to be able to be put on stilts again, you know, so it won't have to deal with all the moisture and the bugs and stuff that's on the ground, you know. So the universes will be lifted up, and those 14 slots the bottom 14 slots of the universes won't be submerged in that filth. And the filth will go away too. But the Arizal taught that even nowadays, on some spiritual level, on a very subtle level, not a level that we can see with our own eyes, but on some level, this aliyah takes place. The worlds ascend to their status before the chait, and there is, and they're not submerged in that marshy the place of the klipas for those 14 slots. When does that happen? Bein hashmashos erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, the zman of Kabbalah Shabbos. That's when, if you've seen in the Sorma, you're talking about Shabbos, the aliyah silence, the worlds ascend, the worlds go up. What does it mean? The worlds go up. I'm not explaining what that means, but I'm just telling you, like the what the Arizal says. The words are is that again, before the chait, all the universes were on their rightful position, and there was a space of the equivalent of 14 slots underneath the universes. That was the swamp, and what happened as a result of the chait is that the universe is lower to the point of where now the 14 lowest slots of all four universes are submerged in that swamp. Which, by the way, if you keep the math, that's all of Asiya, right? All of the last of the worlds that we live in, all of Asiya, plus the final four spheres of Yetzira. Those are the last 14 slots, right? And that's all submerged. The Aliyas Ha'olamis, when the worlds ascend on Shabbos, it means that everything is being pulled back up. And it means that the avoida that the space that we operate in on Shabbos is removed from that low place. That's what you see in the Arizal. The Kamarna in the Sefer Heichal Bracha I think it's in Parshas Veschana. So listen, it's really an Oitzer Chaim in his Pirush Oitzer Chaim. So he writes the following lashon. He's talking about the Sefer Oitzer Chaim is a commentary on all 613 Alpi Kabbalah. So the mitzvah he's talking about over here is the mitzvah of Bal Toisef and Bal Tigra, not to add to Torah, not to take away. 613 exactly. What that's related to is we're not going into that. But just in parentheses, so to speak, he says the following language. He says like this. Va'ata yedata achi. He says, you, my brother, should know. Shekol b'chinas asiya im arba tachtoinis di yitzira. Those 14 slots, which is all of asiya, and the last four spheres of yitzira, which are in the 6 days of the week submerged in the swamp, in the place of the klipas, and on Shabbos are uplifted out of that, at least on a very subtle level, not on the level that we can see, but in a very premiestical level, they're uplifted. Says the Kamarna, his lashon is Haim Soid Haraglayim. That last, like 14 slots of all four universes that are submerged in the swamp, that finds a tikkun, that become uplifted, that become clarified and cleaned out right before Shabbos. Relatively speaking, to all four universes, that's called the feet of all the universes, right? Because if you think about it, the universes are 40 slots tall. So the last, the last 14 is like corresponding to a body, right? Just like in your body, the last percentage of your body is your feet. So this last percentage of the universe is the feet of the universes. It says as a Kamarna, Haim Sider Raglayim, that's the site of the feet. The Elu Raglayim, and these feet, Tzarech La'osfam Elamita. Just like Yaakovino, at the end of his life, it says that he gathered his feet to the bed. So says the Kamarna, that's the void of the big tzaddikim, to gather the feet to the bed. In other words, to uplift it from the muck. What part of the world? What specifically? The feet. Because it's the feet that are stuck in the mud. The feet are the stuck in the mud, and that has to be uplifted. He says, Shalayir ragler yardes mavis, that the world shouldn't be in a position, like the Pasuk says, that her feet descend into death. That the feet shouldn't descend in such a place. This happens exactly right before Shabbos. So let's go back. Rishim Bar Yochai, again, as we said before, Rishim Bar Yochai, there's a lot of themes of feet going on over here. What's the inyan? So now with this understanding of the Arizal, that right before Shabbos, the worlds ascend, and the final, and as the Kamarna defines it, means the feet of the universes that until now have been stuck in a low place are now able to become clarified and to be able to become uplifted and healed from being stuck in the place of the Klipas all 6 days of the week. This happens right before Shabbos. So now let's go back to the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? That Rishim Bar Yochai had Yishuv Hadas when? Davka says the Gemara right at this moment. Bahadi Pani Damali Shabbata, right before Shabbos, by Bein Hashmashos, which is exactly when the feet of the universes are ascended and are able to be freed from the quicksand of the klipas. So they see Ahu Saba, they see this old man, which represents the Jewish people, that's running with strength right before Shabbos. What Rav Shimon Bar Yochai sees in that is this inyan and this ability on his part and his responsibility, what? To fix the feet of the universe. Again, this is exactly what he's seeing. This is the moment in the week, right before Shabbos, where the feet of the universe is able to be uplifted. And that's exactly what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is seeing with this old man running right before Shabbos. So basically what we see is as follows. That the avoid of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, as we said, the avoid of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is to, as it's clear from the Gemara and all these inyanim, the avoid of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is specifically to repair the feet of the world. The feet of the world. Now what does that mean to repair the feet of the world? So, the feet, just like by a person, the feet always corresponds and it represents that which is the lowest, right? That's the feet of the universe is the part of the universe that was submerged, and there's a reason why it is, why it's submerged in the swamp of the Klipas. The feet represent that which is the most physical, the most elemental, the most basic, the most down to earth. And the Chiddush is as follows. When you think of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what do you think of? Secrets of the universe, the highest things in the universe, the highest things. But the Gemara is revealing to us that the ultimate tachlis of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is what? Is to use all that strength and all that energy, as we'll speak about in a moment, to accomplish what? To accomplish the uplifting of the feet. To engage with physical life, physical reality, and to be mesaken it, lesaken oilu malchus shakai, to turn the world into a place of the malchus of shakai. Shakai means she'omer lo'olam maydai. Sha'omer lo'olam maydai means that the Rabbanu Shalom, the goal is that the feet should not be submerged in low things. Adarabah v'adarabah, the feet should be uplifted into high things. The feet should be holy. The tzaddik that's given that task to uplift the feet and to be misak in the world in such a way where there should be that the physical world should become readied for the Rabbanu Shalom's presence, which is the purpose of creation, is specifically given over to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the tzaddikim of that category. That's the avodah of Rav Shimon. Not to bring tikkun to high places, but specifically bring tikkun to low places, to take that which is the lowest and be misakin. That's the avodah of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's what it means to be misakin the feet. That's the whole inyan that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is doing over here. Now the question is, where does that come from? Where does the strength to do that come from? Where does the strength to do that come from? So you know, we mentioned this many times. There's a famous letter from Baal Shem Tov, right? The Baal Shem Tov said that he once had an aliyas neshama. He went up to Shemaim and he had a vision with Mashiach. And he asked Mashiach, when is he coming? So Mashiach said, when your Torah spread forth. And he said that the key to bringing Mashiach, and which is the essence of what the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov is about, is to realize the following truth, which is that there is three dimensions to reality. There are three sides to everything. There's what's called oilemus, which means the feet. That means the physical dimension, the bottom. That's oilemus. There's neshamus. Neshamus means the other parts of your body, like the head and the torso. That's neshamus. That's where you are. Where's your nesham? So your nesham is in your head and your torso. You know that's the ikar part of who you are. So there's the feet. There's oilemus. There's neshamas, which is your head and the torso, but then there's elukus. Elukus corresponds to something that is maybe not even physically a part of your body. That's called the kes. It's called the crown. We know that Shemar Chaim, the Zohar Kaddish, the Kabbalah taught that every construct is built of these parts. You have that which corresponds to the feet in the language of the spheres. Again, we could do this because it's pre-Lag BaOmer, yeah? So the language of the spheres, the 10 spheres which come together to create any system, corresponds to, it has its parallel in like a body. So the lower three spheres, Netzach, Hod, Yisoid, correspond to the feet. That's it, by the way, when we said before that Shimon means 2 feet, and the hidden letters of Shimon is also a foot, that means 3 feet. That corresponds to Netzach, Hod, Yisoid. The most obvious ones in the body are the two legs. That's Netzach and Hoyd. The hidden one, which we don't think of, is the meat of your side. That's also called a regal. Chazal have a lashon like that. That it could also be called a regal. That's the third regal. Those are the three regalim of Rishon Barichai. The ikur inyan of Rishon Barichai is misake netzachad yisod, which is the bottom. That's the feet. That's the universe. The part of the universe that's submerged in the swamp. Those neshamas that are submerged in the swamp. That part of life that's submerged. That's where Rishon Barichai has to focus his energy. That's the tikkun that Rishon Barichai needs to do, which is to pick up the feet, the three parts. That's netzachad yisod. And that's oilness. That's the lowest world. That's what it means, worlds. And then the Mashiach told him, but it's something that's called neshamas. Again, neshamas corresponds to the higher level of the spheres, which is chesed gevurah teferes. That's your torso. Chacham bina das. That's your intellect. That's already that already corresponds to people that are already sophisticated. Bali avoda, bali taira. Those are chashuv people. So you have people that are netzachad yisaid dekayidin, right? People that, unless you pick them up, they'll naturally be submerged in the swamp. That's Netzachai Yisayid. That's Oilemis. Then you have Neshamas of Yidden that are more Chesed Gevurah Teferes, Chacham Bina Das, which are people that are big daveners, people that are big learners. They're already big Bali Madrega. Rishon Barichai, you don't need Rishon Barichai for them. But then there's above Chacham Bina Das. What's even above that? There's something that's called Keser. Keser corresponds to the next, to the higher dimension that the Mashiach told the Baal Shem, which is Elokus. There's Oilemus, Neshamas, and Elokus. The Chiddush is as follows. In Chassidus we're taught that in order to have the strength to pick up the bottom, which is Netzachad Yisayid, to pick up all the way the bottom, you have to be connected and attached to not only Chesed Gevurah Teferes and Chacham Bina Das, the middle. You have to be connected to Keser. It's Davka because of the influx and the influence of Elokus, which is the highest Madrega of divinity. Because of that, there's enough momentum and power to get all the way to the bottom, to Netzachad Yisayid, to Oilemus. You understand that? So in order to pick up the bottom, a person has to be connected, not just to Chacham Bina Das, not just to the middle. You have to be connected all the way to the highest. Because there's Elokus, that's why you could have Kedusha all the way in Oilemus. If you didn't have that element of Elokus, and it just had Neshamas, that's not enough energy, that's not enough strength to help out Oilemus, to help out the bottom, the feet. If you just had Chacham Bina Das and Chagas, it's not. You need Keser, you need that which is on top. We started off mentioning that the other side of Lag BaOmer is a story with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. And you see from there that their destruction was because they were, in order to be the Ma'atike Shmua, in order to be those that give over the Messiah, then there's a very strong sensitivity to Kavod. And we asked the question, really? If anything, it's the opposite. The Rambam says that the Ma'atike Shmua don't have to be... They could have jobs that are not so honorable. We don't have to be so makbid. So which one is it? So there's a Torah from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman in Torah Vav, in the Kut Moran, listen to what he says. He says, Tzarech kol adam lamait bekavod atzmai. So Rav Nachman says that to the degree that a person diminishes their personal, their human kavod, a person has to diminish their own personal kavod, ulaharbeis bekavod hamakim, and to increase the kavod of Hashem. Nachman goes on to say, "Kimisha roidif achra kavod, someone that runs after human kavod, ein zeich le kavod elokim, will not be zeich to the kavod of Hashem. El le kavod shemalachim. What you will be zeich to is the kavod of kings that you'll have." So Nachman says there's two separate things. There's something that's called the kavod of kings, but then there's something that's called the kavod of Hashem Himself. Says Nachman, when the pasuk says kvoid malachim, the honor of kings, chakar davar, that's something that you can investigate. It's something that you can figure out. It's something that you could explain why. But says Rav Nachman, but says the pasuk, but kvoid elukim, but the Hashem's honor, haster davar, that's something that's secret. That's something that's mysterious. Nachman continues one last line, and then I'll explain why we're quoting this. Nachman says like this, and then he gets very mysterious. Kiles kavod. Beloy kaf. The word kavod starts with the letter kaf. The kaf, he keser. And the ultimate kavod, which is the kavod of Hashem, is what's called keser. In other words, the matike shmua, the bali hamesar, what are they supposed to represent? Who are in that system of feet, torso, head, crown? What are they? The answer is they're not the feet. They're not the torso. The torso are people that are bali avayda, they're davners. They're not chachmim bina das. Chachmim bina das are tamid chachamim, which is great. But matike shmua is something else. To be those souls that are chosen to be the transmitters of the Messiah, they have to be connected to what's called keser, what's called the crown. And the crown is what? The crown is elukus. That's God's glory. Not anyone else's, that's God's glory. And says Rav Nachman, in order to be zaycha to God's kavod, you have to empty yourself out from your own kavod. Because if a person has their own kavod, then all they have is the kavod of human beings. But kavod elukim, that a person has to become emptied out of their own kavod. The goal of the Ma'atik Ishmo, the Bali Masari, is to be the embodiment of that highest madrig of keser, which is called elukus. And in order to become that madrig of keser, they have to empty themselves out of what? Of kavod atzmai, of their own kavod. Therefore, the halacha says as follows. It's specifically the Bali HaMesaira that halacha allows them, and maybe even recommends that they don't run after positions that are, you know, that are themselves dignified. Because what the Rabbanu Shalom wants, what Torah wants, is that their kavod should be coming from the kavod of Hashem that fills their essence, not the kavod of some other position. The every other position of authority, you're supposed to have a chash of a job in order to make sure that people honor you because of that. But the whole inyan of Matik Shmua is that their kavod should not be kavod malachim; it shouldn't be the kavod of human beings. It should be kavod elokim. And to make sure that it's kavod elokim, we can't have a rule that says they have to have a human that their kavod should be explained. Kavod malachim, a human kavod chakar davar, has to be able to be explained as to why you're honoring this person. But kavod elokim, the God's kavod, haster davar, has to be unexplainable. So if the halacha would be that Matik Shmua have to have dignified jobs, then that would undermine what they're supposed to be, which are vessels for Hashem's kavod. What does Hashem's kavod mean? Keser. That's what Rav Nachman identifies, that keser equals Hashem's kavod, and that's what the Matike Shmua are supposed to be. In other words, me bringing in this Lukut Maran is to bring out one particular point, is that the inyan of the Matike Shmua, the inyan of the Bali Masar, which is the other side of Lag Baomer, the celebration of the death of the stopping of the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, and now having the proper space for the next group of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who then they themselves taka became the Matik Ishmur, became the Bali Masaira. That side of Lag Baomer is a celebration of people that are embracing their role as representing Elukus. And then you have the other side of Lag Baomer, which is Rishon Ba'ichai. And what's Rishon Ba'ichai about? Rishon Ba'ichai is about picking up feet, which is oilemus, the two opposite extremes. And that's exactly the way it works. In order for Shem Ba'ichai to do his job, which is to be misakin those souls and those people that are stuck in the mud, that are stuck in the marshlands of the klipas, to pick up the feet of the universe, which happens right before Shabbos, which is exactly when Shem Ba'ichai comes out of the cave, and the whole eating of the tikkun of feet that Shem Ba'ichai is involved in order for him to do that, it's not enough just to have the energy of the middle madrigas of neshamas, of chagas and chabad, of having people that are davening and people that are learning. No. There has to be energy. Rishon Ba'ichai has to be a shliach, he has to be an emissary of what? Of the Bali HaMesayri. He has to be an emissary of the people that are the embodiment of Elukus, the highest level of God's presence in reality. Of Elukus, the crown. It's dafka, the crown that gives strength to the feet. The truth is, this is not so foreign at all. I mean, maybe it is, but I'm saying it. I'll tell you another thing. The 7 weeks of Sfira by the Arizal in the Shaar Kavanos, you find that every single week of Sfira, we're being misaken a certain sphere, a certain mida, a certain quality. And I know it's the famous one that you said, Chesed and Gvura, Chesed Sheva Gvura. That there's a side to that, but that's not what I'm talking about. There are tensors that need to be fixed. From Keser, Chachm, Bina, Das, all the way to Malchus, right? So the Rizal says like this. During the 7 weeks of Sfira, you're being Masakin, Chochma, Bina, Das. Takes 2 weeks. I can explain why. So Das is 2 weeks. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. That's what you're fixing during Sfira Saima. What's remaining to fix? Netzach Haidisayit and Keser. Netzach Haidisayit, which is the feet, and Keser, which is the crown, that you're Masakin on Shavuos. Akan. That's what the result says. And we know from the Smart Doshim that the beginning of Shavuos, the first Aris of Shavuos, come into the world by Lag BaOmer. So since, according to the Arizal, the beginning of Shavuos is what? Is a tikkun of Netzach Chayit Yisoid. And Keser means the highest Madrega is activated, and at that time, the lowest Madrega is being activated. That's not a coincidence. It has to be like that. In order to fix the lowest Madrega, it's not enough to activate the middle rungs and the middle tier from Chachma all the way till Teferis. In order to fix the bottom, you have to activate all the way on top. In order for Reb Shimon to be involved in the Misakim, the Neshamis of the feet of the world, then we need at the same day, literally the same day of Lag BaOmer, that Reb Shimon Baruch Hu is shining with this Avayda fixing the feet, at the same day, we need that day to also be the day that's shining with preparing space for the true Bali HaMesira. True Bali HaMesira, that what? That embody the crown of Torah, that embody the crown of Elokus, the crown of divinity, which is God's covet, not human covet. Because the highest Madregas of divinity is being activated on Lag BaOmer, because of that, the lowest Neshamas are also being activated on Lag BaOmer. And that's the secret of Lag BaOmer. That's why, by the way, it's brought down in the Svarim that Lag BaOmer, again, Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day. So it means until Lag BaOmer, you have 32 days of the Sfira, right? And then remaining 17, right? That gets you all the days of the sphere. That Begmatria, it's a well-known Gematria, that's Lev Taif. Lev Taif. So the first 32 days is Lev, and the second section, the second last 17 days is Taif. So Lag BaOmer is transitioning from Lev and turning into a Lev Taif. Lev corresponds to Torah itself. First of all, lev means a heart. That corresponds to the midas of Chesed word Tiferes. And the word lev is also Lamed Beis. Beis is the first word of Bereishis, the first letter of Bereishis. And Lamed is the last letter of the Torah, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, which is the intellect of the Jewish people. That's the Torah. So the lev corresponds to all the midas that are being rectified throughout Sfira, which is Chacham Bina Das, Chesed word Tiferes. That's lev. But what's still missing is the crown, which is the most sublime, mysterious, divine light that exists in reality. That's called the crown. And the ones that embody that are the Matik Ishma, the Bali Masara, as we said. And what's also missing is what? Is the raglayim, the feet, all the way in the bottom. Both the crown and both the feet correspond to the word taif. How do I know? If you take a look in one of the differences between the first luchas and the second luchas, so in Parshas Veschanim, where the second luchas are mentioned, the letter tes is not in the second luchas. The letter tes is in the first luchas, not in the second. Why not? So the Gemara says, because the second luchas, you can't have the letter tes, because the letter tes corresponds to the word toif. And the second luchas, the first luchas don't have the letter tes. The first luchas done a letter test. Why not? Says the Gemara, because the first luchas, because the letter test means taiv, and the first luchas were not taiv. Why? Because they didn't have a kiyum. They didn't have stability at the end. They broke at the end. In other words, kiyum, stability, means feet. You're able to stand on your feet. Your feet keep you stable. If you imagine the feet collapse, the person collapses. The first luchas didn't have feet, didn't have good feet. And because of that, they don't have the letter tes, which means the word toif. Because toif means something that has kiyum, something that has stability, something that has good feet. So the word toif corresponds to feet. The word toif also corresponds to the most sublime, the most divine, the most esoteric light of Elokus that could possibly exist. The first place that in Chumash the word toif is mentioned is when Hashem created, it was the first day, when Hashem created light. Vayomer lekim yehi ar, right? Vayehi ar. Vayara lekim es ar ki toiv. Hashem saw light that it was good. What light was this? It wasn't the sun and the moon. This was the ar hagonis. Chazal described it as the hidden light. One second. If it's light, it's not hidden. What does it mean? This is a light that corresponds to the light of Elokus Mamash, the light of Hashem himself, the light of divinity, the light of the crown, the light of that which is completely beyond. And says the Gemara says, what does it mean it was good? Rashi brings down from Chazal, that Hashem saw the light that it was so good, it has to be hidden, it has to be concealed. Where did Hashem put it? Hashem concealed it in Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Chazal says, Hashem concealed it in Torah. So it means the light, what's happening is that the word Toiv, so the word Leiv, Lamed Beis, corresponds to Chacham Bina Das, that's the intellect of Torah, that's the Beis of Brachos, to the Lamed of Leini Kol Yisrael, that's the Torah. The word Leiv also corresponds to the heart, which it literally means the heart, which means Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes. That corresponds to all the middle, like the middle tiers. The middle tiers is what you could work on during Sphira, that's Gevaldik. But what's still missing is fixing the feet, which is the word Toiv, and activating the highest light, which is the crown, which is also the word Toiv, the light of the first day of creation. And those two things are partners together. The highest light of Yarlakim is Arki Toiv, and something that has stability and has feet to it, which is also what the word Toiv is, which is what the first Luchas was missing. Ironically, the second Luchas had. Because the second Luchas, when Moshe comes down with the second Luchas, Kikar and Arpanav, his face is shining with a light that no one is able to tolerate. That wasn't after the first Luchas, that was after the second. It's Davka the second, which is picking up Neshamas of Yidden that are ready to Brachim. We're talking about Bali Tshuva already. It's Davka the second Luchas that are picked up that have the word Toiv, because they have good feet, and Davka the second Luchas that has this shining light, and the Yud Gam Mitzrachim, the 13 attributes of mercy, which is a light that's beyond measure. Because Midas, it's Yud Gam Mitzrachim, but Schar V'Einish, measure for measure, that makes sense. You get something good because you deserve it. If not, not. What's the Yud Gam Mitzrachim? Rachim means you don't deserve it, Hashem overrides the system. To override the system, you need to be a king. That's a crown, right? Although, if you're not the king himself, means you can't override the system. The system is what it is. To override the system, which is Rachim, means the crown. The Yud Gam Mitzrachim was revealed after in the second Luchas. The second Luchas that had feet, and the second Luchas that has that shining supernal light of the crown. That's because, and they have to go together. You cannot fix the bottom unless you're connected to all the way to the top. But if you're anywhere not all the way on the top, then the bottom is not going to be helped. And it's Davka, and this is the partnership between Rav Shimon bar Yochai and the now healthy post Talmid Rabbi Akiva system of the Masorah. The Bali and Masorah, again, representing the crown of Torah, the crown of Yiddishkeit, the Elukus, that pulsating, that light that shines from one end of the universe to the other, right? That light, Chazal say, shines from one end of the universe to the other. In other words, it's eternal, it's always, it doesn't have any breaks, it doesn't have any barriers. That's what the Masorah is. The Masorah means an unending chain that cannot be broken, it cannot be stopped. That corresponds to the supernal light of Hashem's light, which is beyond any of the normal limitations of this world. This world is limited, which means that anything that's of this system is automatically finite, and it's automatically, you know, with time broken down. The Masorah is not like that. The Masorah is above that. The Masorah corresponds to this light, which is above and beyond anything, which is exactly why the dignity and the kavod of the specific members of the Bali Masorah cannot be attributed to a position that they have as a job. Adrabah, they have to be the chayteve eitzim and shayve mayim, let them be lumberjacks and so on. And the only kavod that they get is simply because of this mysterious reality that fills them, that's called kavod elokim. Kavod elokim haster davar. So it's davka the Bali and Masorah, which is now ready post Lag BaOmer, post the death of the of those that were not able to be the Bali Masorah, shleinogu kavod zelazeh, because they didn't see in each other this godly kavod. They didn't see the crown in each other. They only saw each other as human beings. And as human beings, well, I know as much as you. We go to the same shir, so what I have to give you kavod for? The answer is, what they were missing is a recognition in each other of kavod elokim, of this aragonas, the hidden light that's contained in Torah. If you look at another Jew and you measure that Jew in terms of their Torah knowledge, then maybe they deserve respect, they don't deserve respect. But if in their Torah is found the hidden light, the Or HaGonos, which is the crown, which is that Toiv, which is something that's above and beyond, then even if the person only knows one pasuk in Chumash, they deserve kavod. The Matikei Shmu are supposed to be in the embodiment of what? Of not just the ones that know the most. They're supposed to be the embodiment of the divinity that's contained in Torah, of Elokus Mamash. And therefore, the kavod that is this, that they're supposed to be given is not a kavod that's measurable. And therefore, even though the Talmid Rabbi Akiva could measure each other, and in terms of measurability, that guy doesn't deserve more kavod than me. Maybe I'm smarter than him in this year. But that's kavod malachim. That's human kavod. That's not kavod elokim. That's not the job of the Matik Yeshua. The death of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva means now clearing the path for the next five Talmidim who are going to be truly the Matik Yeshua, who embrace this position, embrace this identity, this role, which is that mamish, that their entire life's work is what? Is just to be a channel for that most supreme and most divine light of Elikos mamish. And it's specifically because of Lag BaOmer shining with that light of the most supreme, the most high, of the Aragana's mamish, because of that, Rishim Barichai can weaponize that light and use it to uplift the bottom, which is the feet. And that's exactly what Rishim Barichai does. And so that's the irony. When Rishim Barichai first comes out of the cave and he starts burning everything up, it's always like that. That which is a person's greatest strength, and not just greatest strength, that which is your shlichus in life, before you embrace it, it becomes the thing that you are opposed to the most. That's usually the way it goes, because that's how it becomes a nisayon, right? Sometimes it's like that. Like, that's the zikr of it. Because that's what Hashem says to Rishim Barichai. I didn't bring you out. What's the lashon of the Gemara? The Gemara says, "Lahachrev elami itzasen." You went out to destroy my world, meaning sarcastically. In other words, what Hashem is saying is that I'm bringing you out to fix my world, because that's his avayda to taka repair the feet, which is the lowest part of the world. Those souls that are stuck in that low place. So that's the ikar avayda. Maybe one can suggest. I don't know. Maybe one can suggest once we're. Oh wow, okay. Once we're going late anyway, might as well throw this in. This old man, that's what this old man represents. What does this old man represent? This old man represents someone who naturally should feel like he's walking in quicksand. That's what an old man should feel like, right? So the Saba represents all those neshamas of Yidden that are mamish feet thick in neshamas that until the moment before Shabbos is stuck in the Medar HaKlipos, and all of a sudden that also means old, right? Old means like. By a person, physically, the feet are the end of your body. So on a timeline, the feet would also correspond to the end, like an old man would also be sort of the feet of his life. That's what we're called ikvus de mashiach, right? Like if you imagine on a timeline. So the Saba himself represents feet. He's the feet of his, those old years are the feet of his life. So the whole, this old man is running by Bein HaShemashes, because that's the moment of where the worlds ascend, and Rishon Barichai is finally given that message of, okay, that's my avoida. And what does he see? He sees he's carrying two hadasim. What's the name of hadasim? Zachar v'shamar. You know, the word hadas equals begamachia 69. It's hadas. In the kavanas of the Arizal, we find that the kavanas for tefillin is three names, Eke, Havaya, Eke. Eka vayeka, that's the kavanas for tefillin. And when you wear tefillin, the Gemara says you shouldn't be mesiach das from tefillin. It means to not be mesiach das from those three names. Eka, havayeka. So if you take a look at a siddur of Mekubalim, you'll see that once you're past putting on tefillin, until the end of davening, on top of the page, it says eka, havayeka, in every single page. To make sure that you're not mesiach das from your tefillin. Eka, havayeka, and that's for the tefillin shal yad and the tefillin shal reish. Eka, havayeka is 68. So hadas, the Arizal already points this out in Shar Kavanas by Sukkos, that hadas is the inyan of Eka Vay Eka, that gematria of 68, just with the koil. It's also gematria chayim. 68 is also equals the word life. The Gemara says the person that wears tefillin is zechet arid yom. That's the side of that Gemara. So hadas equals chayim with the koil. So these two hadasim that he's carrying is what? We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So what do you replace it with? What are these two hadasim represent the two tefillin? Maybe it's tefillin shiyat, tefillin shiroish, maybe it's Rashi ben Tam, I don't know. The two tefillin, the two hadasim. Tefillin represent the crowning jewel of a Jew. It means the teferis, the pe'er, the glory. What's the crown? What the problem is, this yid, he's a feet yid. So usually tefillin is what? Tefillin is Torah. The usual crown that we associate with a Jew is what? Torah and Tefillah. So Torah, the tefillin themselves is Torah. It's parshis of Torah, and you wear it by davening. Oh, but then davening is over, and you have some yidden that they're not such bali seichel, they're not such bali avoida. They're feet dicky yidden. So what's their avoida? Mitzvahs maisis. They do physical mitzvahs. Physical mitzvahs, you know, physical mitzvahs. Okay, but they're not. But that's not tefillin. Chiddush is, this yid is running with hadasim, and he's running to do a mitzvah to covet Shabbos, zachar v'shomer, and so on. That's his tefillin. Kamach, and the Rebbe Shimon Rechai says, Kamach aviv in mitzvahs al yisrael. You see how beloved mitzvahs maisis are. That he's not just walking to do covet Shabbos. He's running to do covet Shabbos. It means that crown in glory, which is usually associated with tefillin, which is usually associated with Torah and avodah. Every yid has a crown to be proud of, even the feet yidden, because of the mitzvahs maisis they do of ru kamach aviv and mitzvahs al yisrael. And that's the proclamation of Rishon Marichoy. Rishon Marichoy's avodah is to show that crown, which is the keser, that usually is associated with Bali Torah and Bali Avoida of Chacham Bina Das and Chesed Gevur Tiferes, which is the Shal Yad and the Shal Resh and the Shal Yad. You should know that crown of Tefillin is also found by feet Dikei Yidden, which is this old man running right before Bein Hashmoshes to show his Chavivus for Mitzvahs Maisis, Ru Kama Chaviv Mitzvahs Yisrael, and that's the side of Lag B'Omer. So it says Lag B'Omer is a Yantif for Mukubolin. No, Lag B'Omer is a yantif. It's a yantif for those neshamas, for those tzaddikim that are connected to the deepest light, even higher than the mekubalim, and use that to pick up neshamas of yidden that are mamish feet. That's what Lag B'Omer is for. Anyone in between is just coming along for the ride. So if you're connected to the highest light and you're channeling that to the lowest neshamas, then this is a yantif. That's the yantif for you. By the way, I feel bad. It's mamish late, but I guess you're still here. Okay, I'll tell you a quick ma'isa. When a shir is like very esoteric, at least you should come away with a story, something. I just heard this. Maisa goes that it was a shvuas in Lubavitch by the Tzemach Tzedek, and b'chlal by the Tzemach Tzedek, especially on Yontif Shabbos, but especially on Tovim, like thousands of Yidden would go, and Kedarka B'Kaidish, the Hanoga was the Rebbe would say many mamorim over Yontif, and the mamorim of the Tzemach Tzedek were very long, and very complicated. And not so pashut at all. And only very few people would chap what the Tzemach Tzedek was talking about. So, the hanhoga was that he would say a maimer, all chassidim were there, whether, you know, and again, the vast majority of people don't at all have any idea what he's talking about. There's, again, a select group of big Bali Hasaga, Bali Seichel, their chap. Okay. The minig was that after the maimer was over, maybe later in the day, or Matziyantif, I don't know exactly, they would set up the Beis Medrash for a Chazar, and they would have Chayzrim, they would have these Tamidi Chacham, these Goyim that understood the Tzemach Tzedek, and they would Chazar the Maimer, word for word, with Biurim, and everyone, that's how everything. So, and that's what happened, and it was like standard, whether you Chab, you Chab, the peasants, you know, they would be by the Maimer, not understanding anything, and they would come to the Chazar, also not understanding anything. But that was it. So, it was one Shuas that one of the Chayzrim was doing this, and I could appreciate, you know, sometimes you could look around there and you could tell, like, no one's laughing. So he's doing this chazara, and he sees, yeah, there's the front row of Tamid Chachamim, they chap. But everyone else, especially in the back, they moms don't know what he's talking about. But they're good boys. The thing is, you go to the chazara, okay, that's what they're doing. But so right in the middle, as he's going, he's just, and he weaves it in the middle, he says, and then the Rebbe starts, so he's quoting that's the Chazar way. He's quoting the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. He begins to say, and then the Rebbe started to say how even the lowest Jew is so holy. And the Rebbe began to say how special it is to do a mitzvah and the Mesiras Nefesh of the regular Jew to have a Shabbos and to make a Yontif. And all of a sudden, the front row of people that remember the Maimer, they're thinking, that's not, the Rebbe didn't say that. He didn't say any of that. But meanwhile, the people in the back are like, oh, finally we got something we understand. It's understandable. And he goes on like this, and he goes on like this, and he says, then the Rebbe said a Maisa, didn't say a story. And then the Rebbe said, this Vert, everyone knows they in Chabad, you know, by the Rebbes, they didn't say Vertlach. Like in other Chassidus, Kedushas Levi, they say a Vert, so that's something anyone could appreciate. By the Babish Rebbes, it was Mamorim, hours long. So he said, the Rebbe said a Vert like this, and a play on words over here, and he said a Maisa Lach over here. And everyone's like all into it. The first time in years that they actually understand anything. But, you know, so what's going on? Al kedei kach, that the guys in the back were so excited by actually hearing something. So once, you know, once the chazar ended, they started, they broke into a riku, they started dancing. It was like a, it was levedik. So after this was over, so the, you know, the Talmidei Chacham that were there approached the chazar, right, the one that was chazaring, and he said, you know, the obvious question is that Rebbe didn't say any of that. And he said, yes, he did. Yes, he did. You have to pay close attention. But he said that too. The Rebbe is talking to everyone. And he's saying Torah. That's for everybody. Al kedei kach was more than that. At that time, Rav Hillel Paritcher and Rav Isaac Homler, two great chassidim from the Tzemach Tzedek, were there. And they said that to a certain degree, that was their greatest shavuos. Because when they saw the dancing of the hamoinam in the back, after hearing the maimer from the chayzer, they realized they were so... They were so envious of the hislavas, of those Pashad Yidden dancing in excitement of hearing a word from the Rebbe. And he said, Rav Isaac Homler, and you know, and they said, we're used to hearing my word from the Rebbe. But these guys, it was like the first time. They, and it was, you know, it wasn't really what the Rebbe said, at least in a revealed way. It was behind the scenes. It was that Nekudah Velikus. And again, that's what the Chayzer was saying, is that when the Rebbe says a Maimer, you're only picking up on the middle tier of the Chachma Bina Das and Chesed Gevur Tiferes. But what the Rebbe is also talking about, what he's also transmitting to you, is the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light, the crown of Elikus Mamish in that Torah. And because of that crown and that hidden light in the Torah, it's able to get to the feet, which are these Yidden over there. So that's our job in order to make room for that, to make that clear. The Rebbe Shur should help us taka that as Ikvus of the Mashiacha and of the feet of Ikvus of the Mashiacha, the Rav Shur Shataka have the greatest light of Rav Shimon Yochai should manifest to us, pick us up, and we'll be able to taka dance and to celebrate with all the tzaddikim and Yisrael tzaddik barachim and meher v'meinu amen.